Get on your knees! You have 3 seconds to comply! One! Two!
Three.
If you wanted me back, you could have just asked me.
A device that controls every military satellite in the world has fallen into the hands of 4 very dangerous guys.
We need someone who can move like them. Fight like them. It's time to be a patriot.
There are no more patriots, just rebels and tyrants.
So which are you?
I'm Triple X.
I'll introduce you to your ground team.
All right, here comes Red Bull's poster child.
I'm not gonna have clowns watch my back.
Who would you trust?
The good, the extreme, and the completely insane.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Slash Filmcast, in which we're going to review Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. I'm David Chen, and joining me today is Devinder Hardwar. Devinder, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I feel like after you say we're going to review this movie, you have to have like a sick guitar, like a guitar ring or something.
We're going
like
to review this movie to the extreme!
To the extreme!
So I'm going to read the plot summary for Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. Xander Cage is left for dead after an incident, though he secretly returns to action for a new tough assignment with his handler, Augustus Gibbons.
In an incident nobody saw, by the way, because I think that death, I didn't see the second movie, but I believe it was like a deleted scene or something about like, oh, this is what happened to Xander Cage.
So let's talk about our relationship with Triple X / Xander Cage.
I feel like that's overstating.
why are we even here? Why are we even here right now talking about this movie?
Yeah.
I remember, I think we were both in college when the original Triple X came out. In 2002,
right.
And at the time, Vin Diesel was kind of an up and coming action star. He had left the Fast and the Furious franchise in order to kind of do his own thing. You know, Pitch Black and Triple X, and he was going to become his own legit movie star. And of course, he has returned to the Fast and Furious fold. But now that he's got a lot more juice, he's got a bunch more $500+ million grocers behind him in the Fast and Furious franchise.
He's trying to spread the juice.
Yeah, he's trying to spread his juice all around. And as a result, he's created Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. When we saw Triple X, I think we actually saw this movie together, Devendra. I actually think that's the case.
I don't even know if it was – I saw it with my family at one point, but we may have seen it together.
We may have seen it together and
– first of all, Rob Cohen and the D's, like, they impressed us with the first Fast and the Furious enough that I was excited about what they would do next, right?
Yeah. Rob Cohen is a very talented person. I wish he was working more.
Did you not see The Boy Next Door, Dave?
I did see The Boy Next Door, and it was pretty intense.
You didn't see Alex Cross, Dave?
I did not see Alex Cross, but
– we did see The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. We reviewed that.
That's true. But yeah, Rob Cohen kind of was in director's jail for a while. Stealth kind of put him there. And then he made Boy Next Door, and that kind of was very successful. And so I'm hoping he gets to make more films now. So I'm looking forward to the next Rob Cohen joint. He was not the director of Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. That was DJ Caruso, who's also a very talented action director. But Devendra, after seeing the original Triple X, I think we are both hoping for a kind of James Bond that uses extreme sports. I think that's what we were.
I don't know if I was hoping for that, but I was hoping for something different, right? The opening scene of that movie is probably the best part of that movie. It's sort of like the James Bond spy, right? Dressed up in a tuxedo and everything. And he's at a rave and he sticks out like a sore thumb, and that's what gets him got, you know, because we never see James Bond do stuff like that. But it turns out I was really just waiting for Jason Bourne. Like, that was the spy we needed for the aughts.
Yeah, and Triple X ended up being very disappointing to me because it was just so goofy. You know, it was I was expecting a lot of goofiness, but it was even too goofy for me.
Well, the effects were terrible, too. Like, there was a point where he's, like, snowboarding away from an avalanche.
I remember that,
And it looks awful. Yeah.
So there was a lot of things that were disappointing about Triple X. Both of us didn't watch the second film in the series.
State of the Union.
And yet, like bugs returning to a flame, we watched The Return of Xander Cage. Now, why did you make the decision unilaterally, because we're not reviewing on the slash. Like, we didn't plan this beforehand. Why did you decide to go see Triple X: The Return of Xander?
Well, I don't know if you saw the trailer for this movie, Dave, but the trailer for this thing is insane.
Yes.
Okay. You got the D's skiing on a tropical jungle, because that's how skis work. Motorcycling through water and into a wave. I'm like, yeah, what's going on in this movie? And also the cast. We saw Donnie Yen here. We saw a really interesting cast, Tony Jaa, too. And I didn't know Deepika Padukone was in it from the trailers, but I looked her up after, and, you know, she's a very big star, too. Kind of nice seeing a Bollywood star in a big-budget Hollywood movie.
I think this movie is going to do really well internationally. You know, I think Vin Diesel has learned from Fast and Furious movies that, hey, if you have a cast that is diverse, that features stars from a bunch of different countries around the world, those countries will want to see the film.
Yeah, and those countries will also help to pay for these movies, too, because you've seen at the beginning of a lot of movies these days, it's a lot of Chinese production companies, too. So
I agree, the trailer looked insane. It shows Vin Diesel, who I believe is a 49-year-old man.
He's
doing lots of extreme sports. It's like watching your dad do extreme sports, you know, and there's something ridiculously silly about it and extremely earnest about it. And maybe they've improved the stunt work and the action to the point that it is enjoyable overall. Maybe it could be so bad it's good.
Basically, I thought to myself, this movie looks like my kind of stupid, and I am totally down with that. I'm down with big, dumb action movies. And, you know, Dave, you really liked The Accountant, and I would classify The Accountant as, you know, the kind of movie you would enjoy, and this is the action movie that I would that I go over.
Hey, man, I really enjoyed this one, too.
Yeah.
So overall thoughts on Triple X: The Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah. I actually had a lot of fun watching this movie. Because first of all, the action is pretty well done all throughout. It's really cut. It's cut up a lot. The choreography, especially for Tony Jaa and Donnie Yen, and I wonder if Donnie Yen even did his own choreography as well, because he's done that before for films. But that all looks really good. There's some really creative set pieces throughout this movie. The big problem with this movie is like the stuff in between. I didn't really care much for the broader plot and for when people were actually talking to each other. I kind of wish this was a nonstop action fest, sort of like Fury Road or something. This movie is really long. It doesn't need to be that long. But I had a lot of fun with this ride. You know, seeing these stars together, seeing Deepika Padukone and Ruby Rose like in a shootout together, it's kind of amazing. Like, I kind of don't know how this movie exists, but then, you know, you think of the international box office, that's why it exists, really.
Yeah, I will say I quite enjoyed this movie as well, because I do think it is so bad it's good. I would classify it as a guilty pleasure. Some people don't believe that that's actually a thing, you know, that so bad it's good can be a way you can enjoy a film, but it is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a particular taste, too, right? Everyone has their own so bad it's good threshold, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's what's hilarious about Triple X or Return to Xander Cage. Firstly, Vin Diesel looks absolutely ridiculous in this film.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about every aspect of his look. What I mean by that is, like, for instance, there's one scene where he brings back the coat from the first movie, and it looks like it just is laughably horrible how bad he looks.
He looks like the villain from Fury Road, actually. Like, he just does not look good. At least the movie makes fun of it. Like, the movie is self-aware of its own ridiculousness at times.
And secondly, he's just not a very, very convincing action star, in my opinion. Like,
he
has some nice muscles, but he's very doughy, I think. You
he's
know?
Very
I,
doughy.
I don't think he moves that quickly. When you see someone like Donnie Yen or Tony Jaa next to Vin Diesel, these are some of the most live, skilled action stars in the world. They can move so quickly that it looks, when they put him next to Vin Diesel, it's like Vin Diesel's moving in slow motion. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Donnie Yen's even older than Vin Diesel, too. Like, he's just been doing this forever. So that's the thing. Like, Donnie Yen has been trained in this stuff.
He looks and acts and does action scenes like he's 20 years younger, however, than Vin Diesel.
Have you noticed how bad the stunt doubles look for Vin Diesel in this movie?
It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
The skiing sequence, which I still don't know how that works. Because there's friction, like, you know, the way skiing works is that, you know, you could just glide through the snow.
Scene in which he jumps off of the top of a radio tower.
Yeah.
And skis through a
jungle.
Jumps
like 50 feet into the jungle.
Yeah, he drops 50 feet and skis through a jungle, which, firstly, you would die if you tried that, most likely. And secondly, how are you skiing through a jungle? There's a reason skis don't work on anything other than snow.
I also would have expected like a snowboard or some kind, like a jungle board. I would have expected something more extreme than skis, because also skis don't, like, inherently just don't look cool. That's why we moved on to snowboards and extreme sports. I don't know.
Excuse me, Devendra. I'm not done talking about how ridiculous Vin Diesel is in this film. So
yes, go ahead.
To that. So the other thing about Vin Diesel in this movie is, in the past, we have talked about movies that are vanity projects. Okay. What is a vanity project? Let's say, like, Beyond the Sea, the Bobby Darin biopic starring Kevin Spacey. That is what I would call a vanity project. You know, it's a project that he wanted to make that no one else really wanted to see. It wasn't reviewed well. It didn't do very well. Another vanity project, I've heard this term used for vanity project, is the movie By the Sea. For some reason, sea movies have a lot of vanity projects. By the Sea, the Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt movie that's kind of about their marriage.
And directed by her.
Yeah. That has also been described as a vanity project. But after seeing XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, we need to retroactively reconsider what we think of as a vanity project, because this is a vanity project, Devendra. This is a vanity project. Because
it is.
Because
it is.
Firstly, you have people walking into Vin Diesel's presence in this movie. Yeah. And constantly referring to how jacked and impressive looking he is.
He's
right?
So impressive. Like every young
every
woman,
single person coming in.
Every
like,
person, every dude wants to be him, and every young woman wants to bed him. There's a point in this movie, which is probably the worst part of this movie, is when there's like he just gets like bombarded with like half a dozen women who just like clearly he's gonna bang them all, and then we cut to them all being satisfied and tired the next morning, which is a callback to the first movie as well. Like that's like one bit where we kind of didn't need that, but yeah, it is
it's
hilarious.
Like watching
how
your dad superimpose himself into a porn film, right? It's like,
oh man, it's uncomfortable.
Not like a home movie like Gonzo style. I'm talking about like the you know 1970s or 80s where they actually try to have a plot in the porn film.
Yeah,
like
have you heard of the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno?
No, I have not.
It's a great podcast. It's a British podcast about a dude who discovered his father, who's much older than him, wrote a pornographic book. It's terrible. And every episode of the show is them reading a chapter of that. And that whole sequence felt like something from My Dad Wrote a Porno. Like, I go to see the source, and the source is really sexy and really into me, right? She's like half my age, but she doesn't want to do me. So she sends like six of her other, you know, ladies, and they do the thing. And oh, man, it is total vanity project.
Yeah. So anyway, it's cringeworthy. All the stuff Vin Diesel does in this movie, whether it's the extreme sports, whether it's betting women, whether it's cracking wise at these jokes that are not funny. Like he gets the worst one-liners in this movie. His co-stars have way better one-liners than him, and specifically Toni Collette is incredible in this film. She has some amazing one-liners.
I don't know if I'd use that word, but she's certainly something in this movie.
She's great. She's great. So anyway, so I just needed to say Vin Diesel is ridiculous and laughable and cringeworthy, but so much so that he makes the film kind of enjoyable in its own way. So.
But you know what's funny? Like all of Vin Diesel's franchises at this point, and he has a few, are basically vanity projects for him. Like I'm thinking of the Riddick movies, which only get made because he is a total geek and he really, really wants to make those movies with Alex Perez, right?
Yeah.
And the Fast and Furious series, of course. Like that series only came back because he came back to it. And now it's just kind of incredible, like how he's basically recreating the Fast and Furious formula with this movie. You know, like get yourself an international cast.
Not Alex Proyas, by the way. David Toohey is the director.
David Toohey, that's right. Yep. But you know, spread out the cast a little bit, build a team, build a family. This movie feels a lot like Fast and Furious 4 to me, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like I don't hate that movie. There are some really good set pieces in that thing. It didn't have the budget and didn't quite come together as much as Fast 5 did. But you know what? Fast 5 wouldn't exist with the budget and the stars it had if Fast 4 didn't happen and was a vaguely successful movie, too. So, yeah, I think this movie seems like a setup for better things, and I'd love to see this team back together.
Let's talk about the team. Firstly, I'll just say overall the vibe I got from XXX Return of Xander Cage is like MacGruber, but earnest. And what I mean by that is MacGruber is itself a parody of 80s action films. That movie I truly love. And this movie basically does the exact same thing, but doesn't ridicule those tropes, right? It uses those same tropes, but doesn't ridicule them. It's very, very earnest.
It's a parody of 90s action films, I'd say, or at least an earnest attempt to do 90s action again.
Sure, 80s, which, 90s, you know thereabouts. But you have Donnie Yen and Tony Jaa in this film, right? And those are amazing action stars. And then you have this collection of misfits that make Suicide Squad's team selection process look really well considered by comparison.
Yeah.
Right? You have a guy played by Rory McCann who's good at crashing into things with his
vehicles. That's his job.
That's his job. There's an Asian kid who has no skills except he is good at DJing, which, Chris, by the way, is not a skill we ever really see him demonstrate. I mean, we just but we don't really see him actually doing the DJing work. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he just kind of presses a button, and maybe the music plays in a way that he wants to. But but you know, there's a kid that kid is only good at DJing. What are those people doing on the team, Devendra?
I don't know.
Why is this the group that Xander Cage has chosen to be his compatriots?
Because they're extreme. They don't play by the rules, man. Like, this movie opens with a scene where Samuel L. Jackson tries to explain, like, that's why we need Triple X. And none of his arguments make any sense. It's kind of hilarious.
It opens with a scene where Samuel L. Jackson, who plays Augustus Gibbons, is trying to recruit a soccer player.
A real-life soccer player
into Triple X. And then that player uses his soccer skills to take down a robber who's come into the store. He uses his footwork to kick a napkin dispenser at a thief. It sounds like I'm making this up, but what happens in the opening scene of
this completely film. Real. But I'm talking about even before that. Like, Samuel Jackson has this like list of examples, right? That's why we need Triple X. He says that several times. And I was just cackling to myself in the like empty theater because it's so dumb. Like, it is so dumb. It's like Metal Gear Solid dumb. And I just love that. Like, the movie knew exactly how dumb it was from that opening scene, and I was fully on board.
It's incredibly dumb. And so if you make it past that opening scene and you kind of get what the movie's trying to do, then you might have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Certainly, Devendra and I did.
I had a lot of fun with it. Like, that opening sequence, too. Like, right after that scene, you have Donnie Yen and his group's infiltration of the CIA headquarters, and that's pretty well done.
That is a pretty amazing scene.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch that Donnie. Like, everything Donnie Yen does in that scene is incredible.
It is a great action scene that is actually, I don't know if it's worth the price of admission, but it's certainly worth like the time that it spends to watch that scene. Hopefully it'll be on YouTube at some point.
There will be some great supercuts of this movie at some point.
There'll be a great supercut at some point. But yeah, there are some like interesting set pieces. Here is the only problem that I think the movie has is other than how dumb it is and how much of a vanity project it is for Vin Diesel.
It's pretty sexist too, but yeah, we've
certainly. other than those major potentially debilitating issues, the only problem I had with the movie is that it kind of gives up its personality. Like, It becomes less ridiculous as time goes on. And,
really?
And what I mean by that is from the dialogue perspective, right?
Okay.
Because there's a scene in the opening where Toni Collette says, like, we need someone who can walk through a hurricane and make it feel like a spring breeze. You know, like, that is an amazing line of dialogue. But the movie is unable to maintain that level of ridiculousness throughout. And by the end of the movie,
like that stuff
it becomes kind of a more conventional action film. Like, some of the action is still very ridiculous. There's like a weightless scene that goes on forever, you know, that just makes no sense physically. But, you know, the ending of the movie, aside from that, is mostly like conventional action. And that is not really what the movie promised in its opening 30 or 40 minutes.
I would say maybe the script didn't keep its ridiculousness going on because eventually the movie just stops. People stop talking.
That's right. That's what
I'm
saying.
Which is fine. I think that's better because I hated, honestly, like, Toni Collette, she was either having a lot of fun with this role or just completely bored. Like, I can't tell if she was enjoying what she was doing here. Or
I think she's having a lot of fun. I mean, this is a woman who is, I would argue, one of our most talented actresses working today. And, yeah, I can't imagine she was delivering these lines thinking that they were anything but absolute trash.
It's just, it's the way the movie paints her, too. Like, she is the sort of, like, shrewy, stick-up-her-butt, like, bureaucrat-type character. She is younger than Vin Diesel. Like, she is, like, a sexless, just corporate drone in this movie, you know? It's just kind of weird to me that women half of Vin Diesel's age will fall over him and the way the movie treated her. But that's, you know, that's one thing. I think the movie keeps up its insanity all the way through, mainly because of those set pieces, because they get crazier and crazier. You know, at one point, Donnie Yen and Vin Diesel are having a fight in the middle of, like, highway traffic or
that
something.
That was pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if I like the execution of every set piece, but I like the concept of every set piece. You know, they were trying to do something unique. I do think that the movie underuses Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa,
not a great actor, but I felt like he could have done some more physically ridiculous stuff in this film.
Yeah, Donnie Yen gets the spotlight in terms of, like, yeah, martial arts capabilities. But, you know, that's fine. Like, Donnie Yen is the more charismatic dude. You know, he can lead films. He still leads films today. Like, he's a huge star. Tony Jaa's kind of fallen off a little. Because, you know, he was a great action star. He still is. He doesn't have
those,
like,
those Ong Bak movies got progressively worse and worse.
Yes. You know? He doesn't have, like, the charisma to be a lead. He's not, he doesn't, when you hear him speak, he also sounds like a mouse, too. Like, he can't really keep that, you know, machismo going. But yeah, would have liked to see more from him. But in that last sequence, Dave, like, there's a shootout in a warehouse, and freaking Deepika Padukone and, you know, what's her face? Ruby Rose were just kicking ass. Like, they were doing their thing.
Oh, that was so good. Like,
and then if I was fighting the plane. Yeah.
If I was a 12-year-old boy watching this would have been an early contender for my favorite film of 2017. Like, that, you know, how we talk about movies, like John Woo movies, like Face Off or whatever. Like, if I grew up in America, if I was a 12-year-old boy, like, and I saw this movie, I would be so excited about it.
Exactly.
There would be so many memorable scenes. Unfortunately, when you grow up, you know, you take that boy and you lead him out back and you have him shot, you know, and you realize you got to move on to more refined tastes.
I don't think we all do that. Like the accountant, Dave.
Like the accountant, you know, the modern day Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
This movie definitely appealed to the 12-year-old in me, and I'm totally fine with that. But I'm saying, like, those last sequences, like, that shootout was happening in conjunction, like, cross-cut with the airplane fight. And then the airplane fight goes zero gravity, and then the bad guy gets, like, robot gloves, and he's just, it's like, punching everything. Like, this movie is insane, Dave. Like, one thing you can't say about this movie is that it doesn't, like, I think it definitely does keep the crazy all the way through. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Yeah. I think it had more personality in the opening, you know, just like, but like you said, the dialogue, right? There's more dialogue in the opening, and by the end, people just aren't talking anymore.
Maybe there's no dialogue. Not good.
There's like five lines in the last 30 minutes of this film, pretty much, right?
And I'm fine with that. Like, the movie is strongest when people are not talking. But yeah, I definitely want to revisit this film at some point. I can't wait to rewatch it at home because these set pieces are so much fun. There's, like, the motorcycle thing. Like, the dumbest thing I've seen with motorcycles since, like, Torque. But I also enjoyed all of it. How did Vin Diesel know that his thing had, like, you know, jet ski?
his motorcycle converted to a jet ski.
How did he know which button to press? He just got on a motorcycle.
So,
I'm very confused by that scene.
I will say this last thing as we wrap up here about this movie is, like, why does this movie appeal to us now? Because is it that much better than Triple X, the first one? It probably has a higher budget, right? Probably the set pieces are more inventive. They probably look a little bit better. And you also have some really kick-ass co-stars. Like,
yes. It's not like, just the D's.
Like Donnie Yen and Tony Jaa and so on, Ruby Rose. So you have these things that are better about this film than Triple X. But ultimately, you know, why do we enjoy a movie like this today? Probably because we just want the pure earnest escapism, right? Like, we want a movie that is okay with being dumb, right? Maybe it's because we see so many movies like Captain America Civil War and Batman v Superman that are ultimately just about people in, you know, like costumes and capes beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
They take themselves really seriously. And while I really enjoy some of those movies, you know, this is kind of a similar movie. That's like, hey, this is we're having people doing these ridiculous, insane things, but we are not ashamed of being a ridiculous movie on its face.
No,
maybe there's something refreshing about that. What do you think?
It's definitely refreshing. I also saw this movie right after Donald Trump's inauguration, and I kind of wanted to see a multicultural cast just like, you know, fuck with the U.S. government a little. That's kind of fun. The first Triple X movie is not, it's not good. That's the thing. Like, it's not fun. The action isn't good. The special effects are terrible. The best thing you could say about that movie is that it looks good. Not the special effects, but it had a really good cinematographer. So it looked a little classier than your typical action movie. But beyond that, like, this movie, it's fun. It's inventive. It knows what it is. The action is all over the place. DJ Caruso is the guy, you know, we've been rooting for him for a while. I think he's had a couple misses lately. But this feels like, you know, I think this movie will do pretty well. And hopefully it'll, like, let him get better projects, too. But, yeah, it's also the cast. It's not all on the D's, because the D's is good at a few things. He's good at growling and staring off into the distance. And as Chris Klemek said in his review, at monologuing as well. Like, he does a lot of monologues in the Fast and Furious movies and all those things. They hired him for... whatchamacallit, Long Halftime Walk movie. Basically, yeah, just
Billy
for
Lynn's
that.
Long Halftime Walk.
Yeah. That's all he does is monologue in that movie. He's good at certain things.
He's good
not
at saying I'm Groot, you know? That's
good at that.
Thing he's good at.
Good at saying Superman. But yeah, he doesn't have the sort of charisma that we expect maybe from some other leads. He's not as nimble and action
just
ready.
Just literally
as some other
the flexibility
or
the speed that you'd want in an action star. Like, it'd be one thing if he was supposed to be an everyman. Do you know what I mean? Like Bruce Willis in Die Hard or something. But he is framed as one of the sexiest and most skilled action heroes in the world.
Yeah.
Because he's framed like that, he must be evaluated that way. You know?
Yes.
And evaluated scathingly and witheringly that way, I would say.
Unfortunately. But hey, at least we have Donnie Yen in this movie, who is one of the sexiest and most action-like, most action-capable dudes on the planet right now. Did you catch the little Bourne Identity dig in this movie, Dave?
I vaguely recall it. Remind
in the
me.
Beginning, they're in that the CIA infiltration, they're like, who? You're hitting me with a book? Here's a book, chapter one, chapter two, as I'm punching you in the face.
Yeah, that is a reference to Bourne Ultimatum and how he used a book to attack someone in that movie.
And the first movie also referenced, like, that was a clear James Bond reference in that opening scene, too. So that's kind of fun. I do like these digs this series is doing. But this movie feels like it can at least earn it a little, even if the construct that we need extreme special agents makes even less sense today than it did right off of the 90s. Like, the movie hasn't really justified why these people need to exist, but I have a lot of fun watching them anyway.
All right, well, that's our review of Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. Next week, we'll have a normal episode of the Slash Filmcast. In the meantime, Devendra, where can I find more of your work on the internet?
Oh, I'm at Devendra on Twitter, and check me out on Engadget.com.
I just relaunched my blog, DaveChen.net. Check it out
nice.
There. Follow me. It's a new WordPress install. I think it looks pretty cool, and I'm posting a lot of my thoughts, keeping it regularly updated there. Next week, we'll be reviewing Split. You're going to want to listen to that review.
Yeah, seriously, I think one thing people should do right now is see that movie before somebody spoils it for you. Just see it, whatever it takes, right now.
I've been podcasting with Jeff Cannata for a long time. I have never seen him react to a movie like he reacted to that film.
His mind
was completely blown by that film. So check out Split, because even if you don't like the movie, which I was not a huge fan of the film, even if you don't like the movie, you need to watch that movie fresh.
Yes.
And you will not regret it, in my opinion. So, thanks for tuning in to the official podcast of SlashFilm.com. We're out.